wonderful to be with you. This coming Sunday may well spell disaster on St. Joe's Island. How many of you have ever read the best Christmas pageant ever? Some of you have. If you haven't, I suggest that you go out and get a copy and sit down with some kids you love and read it. It chronicles the antics of a group of children who belong to the Herdman family. They're uncouth, they're mean, they're antisocial, and somehow they worm their way into playing the key parts in the Sunday school Christmas pageant, much to the consternation of the beleaguered director. Well, this Sunday, yours truly decided to become the director of the Sunday school Christmas pageant at Island Bible Chapel. Now, last year, and I'm not kidding, last year at our pageant, a fight broke out on the stage. One shepherd gave the other shepherd a bloody nose. Their indignant grandmother went up on the stage and hauled those two shepherds off, leaving the rest of the sheep to the mercy of the wolves who were still up there. One key player, a little girl with the face of an angel, but an angel who I will diplomatically say hadn't yet earned her wings or her halo. And now that I've been doing practices, I'm going to tell you she won't be earning them anytime soon. Decided to do gymnastics through the entire play. Now, let me assure you that this play was no different than any other Christmas pageant where there is no gymnastics. However, this little angel was determined to disrupt the show. And so, one of her somersaults included a slightly miscalculated somersault, and it sent a pole microphone flying off the stage toward the audience. Now, this didn't really appear to ruffle one of the wise men who was so busy picking his nose. But it did create a certain amount of stress for several audience members in the front row. Now, since I recently retired from teaching full-time, I figured that taking on the role of the director of the Sunday School Christmas pageant would be a solid creative outlet for me with my particular skill set, and surely I could tame the beast, so to speak. Not so. The very first practice was an unmitigated disaster, including but not limited to a loud burper, several drummers who weren't supposed to be drumming, a defiant kid who stared at me like I was a telephone pole and refused to read his lines, a Joseph and Mary who had a past history, last year's gymnast, and the fighting shepherd brothers had to be separated once again. Ain't this just a wonderful time of year? Way back in September, Ruth kicked off our Wednesday morning sessions with a timeline chart, and I loved the way she summed up the Bible by saying that the Old Testament proclaims someone is coming, while the message of the New Testament is, he came. I love the simplicity of that. I love the profoundness of that. I love the excitement of that. Right now, two of my daughters are expecting babies. What joy. What anticipation. What excitement. The history of the Whitley family tree will be irrevocably, sacredly changed with each tiny new member's arrival. So I want us to get a little bit excited because we're considering the birth of Jesus, and I thought we'd just show a little video clip of how three grandmas-to-be reacted to the announcement of a new baby coming. And my question is, how is your excitement level as you respond anew this Christmas to the announcement that he came, he really came? Listen to the way the old prophet Isaiah announced that it would happen. See if this stirs your heart. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. Wait, stop. There were and are a lot of battles going on within and without. There was and is deep darkness. So how is the tide to be turned? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called, we've heard it already this morning, but listen again, he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. So what I hope to do in the next few minutes is to take these verses apart a little bit, because we need to get a little pumped up like those grandmas, about not just the fact that old Isaiah's prophecies were fulfilled and he came, but what that means for us 2,018 years later. He came. We need to go into this busy season with hearts prepared to receive and respond to the one who is the light who has dawned. I got a beautiful book called Hidden Christmas by Timothy Keller. And he talks about the light who has dawned, and I borrowed a few ideas from him. When Isaiah speaks of God's light dawning on this dark world, he's using the sun as a symbol. The sun gives light. Now, not to my particular houseplants, it doesn't. But generally speaking, the sun gives light. The sun is the source of life. In God, we live and move and have our being. The Bible says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. But you know what? Unlike houseplants, who have no choice, if we want to have life, we have to choose to tap into the light source. The result of not tapping into the light source, sadly, is physical death eventually, and spiritual death now. We know, unfortunately, what physical death looks like, but we may not always recognize what spiritual death looks like. Keller characterizes spiritual death as a loss of meaning and hope, addictive, inordinate desires, deep discontent that cannot be satisfied, shame and struggles with identity, and an inability to change despite our best efforts. Does that ring any bells? And yet remember what we just read. Those soiled garments and warrior's boots can be cast off. And why? Because unto you a child is born. Unto you a son has been given. He is our Christmas gift, freely given, the gift of grace to all who believe and choose him as their rescuer. 1 year, my husband gave me a book for Christmas entitled 28 Days to a New You. I was so mad at him, even though I'd asked him for it. My poor husband. But somehow, giving that book to me made it seem like he agreed that maybe I needed a little self-improvement. And I'm going to tell you, I didn't accept that gift humbly. To accept the gift of being rescued and of living in and with the light requires infinitely more humility, because we can't rescue ourselves. And in that admission, we find Jesus, our rescuer, and a great light has dawned. You know what else the sunlight does? It reveals the truth of things. Now, I have a 17-year-old son who was born in Africa. He's black, and sometimes when the sun goes down and we turn out the living room lights, Elisha simply disappears. On a recent particularly dark night, the living room lights were turned off. Now, I have to go through the living room to get to my bedroom. And so on this particular night, Elisha decided to crouch down on the floor outside my bedroom door. In the total darkness, the truth of who was there was hidden to me. And I will let you imagine the rest with fond sympathy in your hearts. I hit on him, okay, I'll confess. I hit on him once in the closet with a New Year's Eve blower. And when he came in the door, I was going to blow on this thing and scare him. Only he didn't expect it, and he punched me in the mouth, and it drove him. So I had it coming, just saying. When Jesus, the light of Christmas, dawns in our lives, we gain perspective, insight, and truth about the struggles that define our existence. In either our troubled or our blissful ignorance, the light shines, and our wonderful counselor tells us how to deal with our shame. The mighty God can handle our fears. The everlasting Father can cradle us in our grief at the loss of a loved one or at the diagnosis of our cancer. The Prince of Peace can calm our anxious hearts. He can carry our burdens. He can reconcile our relationships. And finally, the light who has dawned creates beauty. Do you love the beauty of the Christmas lights? Do you revel in the mastery of Pauline Henson playing the piano and 200 voices raised to worship the King of Christmas? The shepherds were dazzled by the glory of the Lord shining all around them. The light reveals not only the truth of who Jesus is and who we are and how much we need him, but there's even more. The light of the sun sparkles on the snow and the frozen lakes that the Son of God has made. In the light, we see God's artistry all around us, and we see the truth that he has knit us together wonderfully in the wombs of our mothers, and he beckons us to call him Daddy because he knows our brokenness, and he longs for us to know that he came because we were a beauty worth rescuing. Do you believe that? And so it is that he came, and he freely gives us his light and his might and his counsel and his peace. But then I got thinking, what can I offer him? What can we offer him this Christmas? James Calvin Shapps has written a beautiful book called Finding Christmas. And in it, he reminded me that every one of us struggles with the problems of an ordinary life. Each lady here, young, old, and in between, struggles. And yet, our ordinary lives are very, very important. We love and fail and work and hurt and grow here. There is sacred mystery in our ordinary lives when they are infused by the light of Emmanuel. God with us in the dishpan. God with us at the diaper pail. God with us at our chemo appointment. God with us in the nursing home. To close out this morning, I have two characters at opposite ends of the age spectrum who I would like you to meet. I wanted to end with two ladies who respond to the light who has dawned in their own ways. They respond to the question, since he has come, since the light has dawned, how should I then live? After you meet my first friend, Martha, I will make a final comment, and then I'll introduce you to Anna to close out. Here's what might happen this Christmas as we allow the light of the world to invade our ordinary but sacred days. Well, if Meghan Markle can get married, we're in a messy bun. I don't think I have to apologize for my messy bun while I sit here and do the laundry. You know what? That is, if I can ever get the laundry done. Honey, just wait a minute. Mommy's talking to a few friends out here. You know what? Just share the Lego with your brother, honey. Remember, sharing is caring. Okay, so if they ever told me back in university that the highest mountain I'd ever be climbing is this mountain of laundry, I would have just laughed. Now all I want to do is just cry. Speaking of crying, honey, would you go shake the rattle for the baby? What I wouldn't give for a 5-minute adult conversation, although yesterday I passed up an adult conversation because my mother-in-law arrived unexpectedly at the door. And this place was such a disaster, I grabbed the kids and we hid under the dining room table. But at least I found the fabric under there. I just don't know how I'm going to get those Christmas costumes made for the concert on Sunday. I'm so pooped out. Oh no, speaking of poop, the toddler missed the toilet and I forgot to clean it up. Oh, I hope my little chickie doesn't step in it. Oh, and speaking of little chickies, I forgot to take the chicken out. What are we going to have for supper tonight? Stop whining, darling. Mama's coming. You get what you get, and don't get upset. Okay, maybe we'll just have grilled cheese tonight. I have school council after I pick the kids up from Awana. Awana, I was supposed to make Christmas cookies for the snack at Awana tonight. And speaking of tonight, oh, my husband said he wants to go to bed early, and that doesn't mean usually an hour's extra sleep. Sweetie, don't put Cheerios up your nose. Let's see, tomorrow is Wednesday. Wednesday, I've got to get 6 pages done, or Beth Moore's going to be so disappointed in me. Oh, dear, I almost forgot the reason I came into the kitchen was to look at the mail. Oh my, this is from the doctor's office. I hope everything's okay. I had those tests. Oh no. two positive test results. Positive for the disease to please, and positive for identity crisis. Well, this is interesting. The doctor has included a treatment plan. Number one, recognize the following. Jesus was born so that mamas could become his babies. Number two, he was born in a barn. Stop looking at Pinterest. Number three, the light has dawned so that in the midst of doing the laundry, what I am doing is not simply what I am doing, but what he is doing in me and through me with the right attitude in order to love him and in order to love and nurture my children, my husband, and even myself. I can make time for that. So just before you meet old Anna, I want to close by reminding you of this. Remember the promise way back in Genesis that someone was coming? God told that snake right from the get-go, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will bruise his heel. Well, since that time, the history of mankind has lurched onward from one failure to the next over thousands of years until about 2,000 years ago when he came. A great light has dawned on those living in the land of deep darkness and for those of us who choose to embrace the light who is life and truth and beauty, there remains hope. There is healing and purpose and forgiveness and peace to be had in the midst of this still present darkness. And so the Bible ends in the book of Revelation with the prayer, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." As Christmas approaches, may we continue to recognize our personal and spiritual poverty and prepare our hearts for Jesus to come and affect how we live today, even as Anna and the rest of us long for him to come one final time. What can I give them as old as I am? I could give them my time, but I don't suppose I got much left. And I could give them my money. But by the end of the month on my fixed income, I don't seem to have much money left. Of course, it kind of depends how many supplies I need. You know, I still can crack a few jokes. But truth be told, I often feel afraid. I feel afraid about not having enough money. I feel afraid of not being needed and afraid that I might fall. Afraid that I won't make sense. Afraid that my last few living friends will die. And I'll be all alone, afraid that I'm not needed, afraid that I'll be a burden, afraid that my memory is failing. Wait, did I already say that? But you know what? There's one thing I do remember. I remember those angel words. Because I've been clinging to them for my whole life. I've made it my habit. Fear not,
For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And he shall be called Emmanuel, God with us.